Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us today from up in the Minneapolis area, up in the Minnesota area, a man named Michael Kaufman. Michael Chapman, are you there?
Yes, it's Michael Chapman. I am here, yes.
All right, fine. Well, I appreciate so much. And Michael has certainly been going into the background of what they're doing with the minds of our children, this new program that they have, education, no child left behind. Really sounds like a great slogan, but what's wrong with trying to improve the education of our children using the power of the federal government, Michael?
Well, I'll tell you, just, never mind the Ninth and Tenth Amendments that reserve those things not listed to the federal government, to the states and the people. No Child Left Behind is just the new slogan name for the reauthorization of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, first passed by President Johnson for his Great Society initiative back in 1965.
All right.
And,
yeah. In other words, basically, it is the federal government is going to direct the education of our children and point our children towards accepting socialism?
Yes, that's the way I see it. Primarily through the content that No Child Left Behind mandates. For years, most of your listeners, I'm sure, are aware of terms like outcome-based education and Goals 2000 and some of these things that we fought under the last administration. Well, No Child Left Behind came along, and supposedly the soundbite is that they sunsetted and Goals 2000 went away and School to Work went away and all these federal mandates went away. And now we're just going to hold children accountable, or schools accountable, to making sure that everybody gets a great education. When in fact, what No Child Left Behind did was came along and basically gave the stick to the carrot and stick scam. Goals 2000 established the national curriculum, the national standards, the national teacher licensing rules, the national assessments, and then No Child Left Behind came along and is now going to hold states accountable to those bills. And one of the ways that I like to show that is by having people turn to page 243 in the bill itself, and there you will see that No Child Left Behind continues to fund the radical agenda of specifically named the Center for Civic Education, a radical leftist group out of Berkeley that wrote the national curriculum in civics and government.
Now, why would a conservative Christian administration bring in a policy like this, which was actually Ted Kennedy's policy and Hillary Clinton's policy all wrapped into one?
That's right, yeah. Basically because of language manipulation. I honestly don't know for sure, and it really is immaterial, whether or not Bush actually understands it or not. The fact is it's happening. And, the curriculum itself is hidden behind such wonderful terms as, for instance, citizenship values. We want to teach all our children citizenship values. But if you look in their glossary of terms and read the definition of what citizenship now means, I'm going to read it right from the national standard.
You're going to have to hold that thought, because okay. We're going to have to, of course, bring some of our other stations on board here. And I don't want to interrupt that. I really want all of our listeners to understand how they twist the meaning of terms. Words aren't what they mean to you. They're what they mean to the people who write these directives. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Michael Chapman, and we're talking about the new federal regulations as far as education is concerned. The federal educational program amassed under the idea of returning control to the local school board, returning control of education to the parents, whereas indeed it is just the opposite. It is the centralization of control of what your children will learn and what they will think and what they will believe with the federal government and with a program that is aimed at destroying their belief in God and family and country. So with that as a background, Michael Chapman, you go ahead and pick up the story.
Okay. Well, basically, I was explaining to your listeners that the No Child Left Behind, page 243, continues to fund the Center for Civic Education as the only tax-exempt nonprofit organization that has holds the grant to write our entire curriculum for civics and government. And I was reading from the National Standards for Civics and Government to where they've really redefined certain terms. For example, citizenship now means the status of being a member of a state, one who owes allegiance to the government. It's no longer owing allegiance to the principles by which America was founded. It is now owing allegiance to the government.
Well, that's what, of course, they did in Hitler's Germany and Benito Mussolini's Italy. You know, America, originally, the government was to be limited. It was to serve the people. We were not to serve it or have allegiance to the government. The whole idea is when why the government fears the people, there will be liberty. When the people fear the government and pay it unqualified allegiance, you have the path road to tyranny.
That's right. And really, what has happened through this kind of radical curriculum is the purpose of education has shifted away from preserving our liberty towards transforming America into a new image. And the Center for Civic Education, you can go on their website at cce.org and read a posted article on what it means now to teach democracy for the 21st century, or the 21st century mission of schools. And they explain in that document, and I'm going to just quote it because this is incredible. It says, in the past century, the civic mission of schools was education for democracy in a sovereign state. In this century, by contrast, education will become everywhere more global and international. We ought to improve our curricular frameworks and standards for a world transformed by globally accepted and internationally transcendent principles.
And, of course, what we're doing is preparing our students to become world citizens.
That's exactly right.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Michael Chapman is our guest this afternoon. He's been talking about how this Center for Civic Education, which is writing the curriculum, which is being used in the No Child Left Behind program, is really aimed at preparing our children to become global citizens, not to be citizens of a sovereign nation, but to become citizens of the world. And what they're doing is using our tax dollars and our schools to change the perspective of our students away from individualism under God to subservience to the state.
That's right. In fact, the No Child Left Behind actually names on that same page 243 the National Model Curriculum, a textbook called We the People, the Citizen and the Constitution. It's the only textbook in America that is publicly funded. And so already 20 million children have used this textbook in their classrooms. And the opening pages of the textbook explain that the purpose of this book is not to fill your head with a lot of facts about American history and government. In fact, what it is about is transforming our citizens, our future citizens, into global citizens. The textbook ends on a chapter on what might citizenship look like in the future, and speaks of the global village and asks students to discuss the advantages that might be offered by world citizenship. I mean, this is absolutely blatant. There is no more blatant textbook I believe, in America that so clearly states its purpose.
And, of course, this was legislation was forced through by the conservative Christian administration. Now, you say, well, maybe they didn't understand what they were doing. How could they be that stupid unintentionally? This is what we always hear. Oh, the reason 9-1-1 occurred, gee, nobody knew what we were doing. We keep passing the bad legislation all the time because we just didn't know what was in that legislation. Isn't this really a cover for perhaps knowing what they're doing and not wanting the public to know what they're doing?
Well, it might be, and certainly I believe that that's the case within the U.S. Department of Education that funds and gives the grants to these organizations. Really, what I believe this is we have already lost representative government in America, and basically we are governed by appointed bureaucrats. The U.S. Department of Education is a prime example. Underneath that organization, the Office of Education Research and OERI hosts and maintains the 10 education labs. And what I found is that out of these 10 education labs, these regional labs, we find that the entire machine of putting the curriculum, the testing, and everything in place is being taken care of. Now, I think once these things get to the point where they're ready to push them to our representatives, they've already filled them full of such doublespeak language that these senators and congressmen, when they read this stuff, whether you knew what it was or not, the words all sound wonderful.
Do you think they really even read the legislation?
I don't think so. I actually went out to Washington, D.C. and met with the entire Senate education staffers several years ago and tried to explain to them the dangers of what the school-to-work system was really about. And I explained that it first came through the Secretary's Commission on Achieving Necessary Skills, and not one of the staffers in the room had ever heard of that organization. In fact, one of them even accused me of being just a liar and making it up. So I pulled out the Secretary's Commission on Achieving Necessary Skills and showed them their blueprint for working for a living, and explained to them what bill it was in. None of these guys knew it. And I was convinced after that meeting that, unfortunately, our nation is governed by a bunch of, 25-year-old graduates from Ivy League schools with a big chip on their shoulder that can't possibly run into somebody who knows something they don't, So I don't believe messages are getting through. Now, I was able to speak to and did some research for Senator Rod Grams from Minnesota when he was our senator, and he told me in confidence quite late before he was unseated that for a long time he didn't believe me because of what his staffers were telling me, and he had finally come around too late to do anything about it. So I think one of the reasons we see the same thing happening regardless of who's in power is because of this machine that has been put in place that keep people in the dark on purpose so that they can get their agenda through, hidden by the language they know they need to get past in order to operate within.
Well, our founding fathers did not trust the centralized power in Washington, D.C., which is why they drew up a constitution that limited the power of the central government. For as Thomas Jefferson said, "In matters of politics, speak not to me of confidence in men, but bind them down for mischief with the chains of the Constitution." So they specifically limited what they could do to the items listed in Section 8 of Article 1, and then they put in the 9th and 10th Amendments, which limited what the federal government could do, and if the power wasn't given to them, that power was to be limited to the states and to the people. And these people are violating their oaths of office with everything they're doing.
That's right. And I think that this is now a self-perpetuating problem. Primarily, where I came into all of this was through curriculum reviews. I've been doing this for about 15 years, and I've been watching the curriculum in history primarily, and now, of course, we don't teach history. We only teach social studies because we only use history as necessary to prop up a social outcome goal. That's the reason there is no longer history in the public school system. It is social studies. But it's been our true heritage, our true history has been lost for so long that I'm concerned that even our PhD historians don't have a clue of what our true history is.
And of course, what they do is they deprecate our founding fathers, and they talk about what terrible people they were. And I think our children know far more about Marilyn Monroe than they do about James Madison.
right.
You know, far more about the Jeffersons than they know about Thomas Jefferson. And this really is tragic, because if you destroy the history of a nation, you destroy the legend of a nation, you destroy the very foundation of that nation.
That's right. And, of course, Lenin said, take away a people's heritage and they're easily persuaded. And that's exactly what has happened. In order to make room for the new, you first have to tear down the old. And so what we've been seeing in the negative bias within the history curriculum, negative towards America, and I think we're witnessing some of the results of that, as you see all of these students protesting against America during this war on terror and some of the other things. And the philosophy of the government in one generation is the schoolroom in one generation is the philosophy of government in the next. So this makes perfect sense that education was what the left needed to get hold of. And I'm convinced we're fighting right now, we're knee-deep in the battle right now in Minnesota for writing our history standards. And the big fight that we have right now is to try to include within the framework of our history standards the seven principles of freedom as stated in the Declaration of Independence. And this is really where the war is. They are trying to remove those principles that include national sovereignty, natural law, self-evident truth, equality before God, creator-given unalienable rights. The purpose of government to secure those rights and popular sovereignty, consent to the citizens. It's the declaration principles that really form us as a nation. That was our founding charter.
Yeah, but of course it was this belief that our freedoms came from God, our rights came from God. That was what the declaration said. That's why they had to get God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our school.
Well, that's right.
And that's why this Supreme Court justice has suddenly found that this was unconstitutional.
That's right.
As 60 years ago, back, pardon me, 50 years ago, 40 years ago, I guess it was in 1962 that they did this, they knew what the end result would be. Because if you destroy the religious and historic foundations of a nation, you destroy that nation. And what really has bothered me so much, Michael, is that the churches have been silent about this and keep sending Christian children into these government schools where their faith is destroyed.
Yeah, clearly the church has abdicated their authority. We did not become a nation. We wouldn't have become a nation had it not been for the pulpit. The British feared the black-robed army more than anything, and that was the pulpit who knew and were teaching and preparing citizens to understand the source of our rights and how they had been violated, and then connecting these things to the biblical principles where they came from. And of course, when you have a body of people leading you as a nation who do not believe in God, well, then they aren't going to believe that our rights inherently come from God. And so what you see promoted through these national civic standards is the Universal Declaration, or the Universal Declaration of Human Rights out of the United Nations. And what most people don't understand and what they need to start to do is read that document and see that that document actually declares a new God. Article 29.3 of that document ends by saying, these rights and freedoms that, by the way, they have just enumerated, may in no case be exercised contrary to the purposes and principles of the United Nations. Now, that just makes man God. That just takes man and puts him on God's throne, and government, then, is our new God. And because government is our new God, then citizens owe loyalty to that new God, and they owe him service.
And of course, you cannot be free when you owe loyalty to your, to the rulers, the bureaucracy that rules you. And when both political parties are pushing this, and both political parties push this educational program, because it was aimed at the hearts and the minds and the souls of our children. And this was Ted Kennedy's bill, which the Republicans got through. That's unconscionable, and I'm a lifelong Republican, but I am ashamed at what I see taking place in Washington, D.C. today. Because I think we have people at the highest echelons of the Republican Party who really ought to be Democrats. And there are a lot of people who are Democrats who are good people who don't understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle for the hearts and souls of our children. and we're losing that battle. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Michael Chapman, and he's from what used to be known as the Maple River Educational Program, or Coalition, the Mr. Edco, but they've changed the name. I'll let him get out the website and let you know how to reach their very active and effective group up there in Minnesota in just a few moments when we return here at Radio Liberty.
Could you believe that there is an organized effort to dumb down children all across America? As we see falling SAT scores, it's very easy to say, well, gee, we need to just spend more money. That'll solve our problem. Ladies and gentlemen, that won't solve the problem at all, because there is an organized program within the hierarchy of education to dumb down our children intentionally. Outcome-Based Education is a fascinating book written by Pamela Hobbs Hopker and Pat Lutzik, going into the background of the program of the humanists who gained control of the educational establishment in the United States to change the attitude of our children, to change their attitude towards God and family and country. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Outcome-Based Education. Once you understand what they're doing to your children, you'll never look at the world through the same eyes again. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me mention, what can you do out there in the listening audience to try to preserve our nation? Well, you must understand its foundation. And there is a program, it's called the Institute on the Constitution, and is dedicated to teaching you and others about the founding principles of this nation. And you can actually get a program. It's 12 half-hour lectures by Dr. John Ijmo. It's a couple of lectures on video by David Barton. There's a kit. There's a book that you get. It tells you how to set up these programs, how to put them on, the questions to ask, and the answers to the questions. So you can learn more about the Institute of the Constitution at their website, IOTC Online. That's IOTCOnline.com, or give them a call at 410-760-9068. That's 410-760-9068. Help us educate the American people. Help us save this great and wonderful country. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest today is Michael Chapman, and let me just mention that we do have a book. It's called Fed Ed, and I know it's written by one of Michael's assistants or Michael's associates up there, Alan Quist. And we have a 4-tape set called FedEd, and its interviews with Mr. Quist, Ellen Quist, and with Julie Quist, and with Senator Bachman, and other people associated with the Maple River Coalition, and it will give you the background of this program and how this federally mandated program through the Federal Department of Education that's spending $60 billion a year to destroy our children. And we cannot survive as a nation if this program persists. So I would recommend everybody get this information. The documentation is there. And then you really want to go to their website. It was Mr. Edco. What is it today, Michael?
Well, we've made the name simpler now. It's EdWatch. And you can go to edwatch.org. Right as you open up the screen, you'll see my videotape, America's Censored Heritage, where I actually give photographic evidence on the video to show what our founding fathers' documents say, what our old textbooks used to teach us, compared to what's in the new curriculum, so parents can finally see it for themselves. And then also FedEd is right there, too, an excellent book that explains how the federal curriculum is still being forced into the local school through even No Child Left Behind.
And this is a federal curriculum because they're going to test the children to the and they're going to have to educate the children to this federal test. And
that's
the federal
right.
test really doesn't care whether they can read or write. It's how you're testing their attitudes and values and beliefs. Oh, there are a few test questions in there on reading and writing and arithmetic and things of that sort. But it's mostly the attitudes,
that's
how they
right.
feel
in
about
fact,
things.
In fact, that's one of the reasons we no longer test our children. I'm sure your listeners are used to the new word now. It's called assessment. What do we assess? We assess our homes for its value. We assess our cars for its value. We now assess our children to determine their value on how well they now demonstrate that they think like a liberal. I mean, that's basically what has changed. And one of the best pieces of evidence for that is out of the National Center for Education Statistics. Now, unfortunately, No Child Left Behind made it a federal offense to reveal any of the content on the nation's report card, the NAEP test. We had a live copy of that test, and we were actually sharing that to show parents the appalling things they were testing or assessing our children on. But this document here, What Democracy Means to Ninth Graders, reveals the results of those assessments, and it tells us, in fact, this is just a little chart that has ninth graders explain, this reports the percentage of ninth graders reporting that various economic-related actions probably or definitely should be the government's responsibility. And it reveals now that 84.2% of our ninth graders now believe it's government's responsibility to set prices.
Just like they do in Russia and as they do in China and in every communist country. And
that's right.
What they're talking about is central command control, and that's what they're indoctrinating our children in. And what about environmentalism? Aren't they indoctrinating them in the whole environmental scam, which, of course, is
yeah.
all tied to more government control over our lives?
Yeah, in fact, the entire purpose of geography is radical environmentalism now. They use terms now that they've made up like spatial distribution. Well, what that means is space distribution, property distribution. They talk about scarcity of resources, and basically what they're doing is scaring the kids to death that we're all going to die and run out of natural resources if we don't have government regulate the environment, and that includes personal property.
And, of course, there's no problem facing the environment that a new government program won't actually make worse. But this is what they're pushing.
That's
government
exactly
program,
right.
government program, government program, to solve all the problems, most of which the government has created themselves.
That's right. Now, you've got to understand, the United Nations has just declared the decade from 2005 to 2015 the decade of education for sustainable development. That term sustainable development now is going to contain the radical agenda for radical environmentalism and property control that I'm seeing in the curriculum today. That is the new term for it, and you'll see it in the standards. You'll see it popping up, especially now that President Bush has brought us back under the banner of the United Nations.
And I think it's, people want to understand sustainable development. Just substitute the word socialism or fascism. It really doesn't worry. It doesn't matter because they're all the same thing. Sustainable development, socialism, fascism, which was nothing but corporate fascism under Benito Mussolini, the regulation of the individual to solve the problem.
If there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. How can we really understand what's going on today? Well, let me suggest my four tapes out on the secret government. And there's an interview there with Professor Carol Quigley, who is the mentor for Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton even talked about his Professor Quigley when Bill Clinton accepted the Democrat nomination for the presidency on the 16th of July, 1992, saying, when I was a student, why I heard a call to citizenship from President John Kennedy. And then when I was a student at Georgetown University, I heard that summons clarified by a professor named Carol Quigley. Carol Quigley was a liberal college professor who taught at Princeton and Harvard. Before he went to Georgetown University, he had a whole cult of students who really almost worshipped him, because he was one of the most eloquent and really great speakers of our time, a great historian, a dedicated liberal, but he writes about a secret society. And, of course, he goes into the background of the Rhodes Scholarships. The reason that Bill Clinton became a Rhodes Scholar is he understood how the whole world fits together. And you go, of course, to Oxford, you become a Rhodes Scholar, and then you come back and you join the Council on Foreign Relations, and maybe you could even become the President of the United States. It's not simply by accident that we found so many Rhodes Scholars going into key positions in our government. Anyway, the four tapes up, the secret government, includes not only the interview with Professor Quigley, but my talk on geopolitics and other information that will help you to understand who really runs things behind the scenes and why many times the Democrats get the Republicans to carry out their programs and the Republicans get the Democrats to carry out their programs. Well, you need to understand who controls both political parties. Call 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the secret government tapes. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest today is Michael Chapman. Our telephone number out across America is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. That's 464-8295. We've been talking about this educational program, No Child Left Behind, which really means we're going to control your child and reshape their attitudes, values, and beliefs. But we're not going to let the American people know that. We're going to try to convince them that the purpose of this program is to return control to the local school board and to the parents. And it's a lie. But then so many things are lies today. Michael, how are we going to get the American people to understand what they're doing to the minds and the souls of their children?
Well, I think you said it pretty well. Knowledge is the key to freedom. We cannot be a free people if we don't first have a knowledge of the truth. So through shows like yours and through our lectures as we go around and through our websites, we're trying to inform people. And I think it's important that even if you don't have children in the public school system, you've gotten your kids on safe ground, that's great, that's fine, but understand that most of our children are still in the public system. We have to be engaged in the battle for our culture, and we need to arm ourselves with the truth. We need to understand exactly what is going on. We need to be able to cut through the doublespeak that masks what's happening so that we can help inform our neighbors, so that we can be an influence in the circle of people and associations that God has placed us in. America is a mission field, and all of us are missionaries, and we need to be about proselytizing and being the salt in this culture, holding back that corruption from the meat of our culture so we have the freedom to spread the light of truth. Otherwise, we're going to lose it.
Now, you and your group up there in Minneapolis have been really having quite an impact on many of the legislators, and haven't you actually had some at least temporary victories there, getting the information out and getting your state to say to the federal government, we're not going to go along with your program?
Yes.
Where do we stand there?
We have. We've actually managed to overturn the Goals 2000 curriculum and reject outright the federal curriculum and control. We've actually had a Senate Republican, Michelle Bachmann, who before she was a senator was my co-speaker, traveling around explaining this whole system. She has now authored a bill to get the state out from under No Child Left Behind, and that passed unanimously in the Senate Education Committee. Now, here's the real problem with that. I better just mention this. There's two ways that they are trying to get the No Child Left Behind through. One of them is now Rod Page, the Secretary of Education, is now using the race card. Because primarily what they're saying is that the point of No Child Left Behind is trying to reduce the gap, the learning gap between minorities and white kids. And that is a tragedy, and that is true. But what they don't need is more of the same problem. What they need is good phonics, good mathematics, good academic knowledge-based liberal arts education. We know that to be true. In fact, Rod Page knows that to be true. But he is so bent on seeing No Child Left Behind as the solution to the problem that when we fight this thing, he's calling his own people racist. And that is absolutely not true. None of us want to see this gap growing, but the federal government is not going to solve our problems.
Well, the federal government has created the gap. The federal government and really is responsible for what they have done to the black family. You know, prior to the civil rights movement, you had a responsible black community. Yes, there was discrimination against them, but they had homes, they had mothers and fathers.
In fact, Alan Keyes said it pretty well. He said in his book, Masters of the Dream, The Strength and Betrayal of Black America, I think I'm quoting him right, he said that it took the federal government to do what generations of slavery could not do, and that was break the back of the black family. And that's the truth. The destruction of the family in inner city black families came through the programs of the federal government, did not come from even the evil institution of slavery that actually pulled the black family together and strengthened them for the fights that they had to face in later times. The second piece of this, and I got to get this out too, is that the Democrats now are jumping on board of these bills to get us out from under No Child Left Behind. And obviously they could care less about federal government control of education. Otherwise, they'd been on board of trying to get rid of Goals 2000 and all the other ones. So clearly, their agenda is simply to embarrass Bush and the Republicans. So it's important for us to understand that perspective as we go into the battle to get us out from under this. It's important that we say that we preface our argument with the problems that apparently Rod Page really thinks he's trying to deal with, and say, we agree that's a problem, but this is not the solution. More federal control is not the solution.
Well, if you really care about black children, you're going to get them out from these various government programs. You're going to give them an opportunity to get a good education, and they're not going to give it in the public schools. And that's why we need some sort of a voucher system, either where they're going to be able to have some choice, because as long as they're under the control of government schools, which are under the control of the NEA, nothing is going to happen. We've been talking about this thing for a generation. We've been flapping our wings, and We just haven't lifted off yet at all. The education keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And all you have to do is look at the scores, comparing American children to children throughout the world, the rest of the world, and you find we're among the lowest. You couldn't do that bad a job unintentionally. And I really think that things are going to be far worse with this new federally mandated program, because they've targeted every child in this country. This is the problem. That's why our founding fathers didn't want federal control over the educational system or anything else. They wanted matters dealing with life, liberty, and property and the individual handled at the state and the local level. And they might not always be perfect. What would happen if you had an imperfect or a corrupt system at the national level? There is no escape.
That's right. Once you put all your eggs in one basket and that basket falls, everybody falls with it.
And I think we've fallen just about as far as we can, but I'm sure with a little help we can fall even further. Well, other than education, are you having any success in Washington, D.C., getting some of the legislatures to understand what this is about? And how are we going to get the people up in arms to let the elected representatives know that we're not going to return them to office if they can keep betraying the trust of the American people?
Yeah, that's right. We have had some success. Phyllis Schlafly has picked up a lot of our material and is having a lot of us come around and speak to her national forums and her state-level forums. And we usually get state-level representatives and senators to attend those, and some of them are beginning to learn and carry the bills. We do a lot of bill writing or reading and writing critiques and explaining to well-intentioned people who are maybe sponsoring bad bills that they need to get off of these things. And I spoke personally with Congressman Tom Tancredo from Colorado, and he took his name off of authorship of House File 1078, I believe it was, last year, that was the Bush plan to sponsor 12 academic teacher training centers to train them in teaching civics and government. Unfortunately, it all sounded wonderful. It all sounded like, oh, we got to get back to teaching history and, you know, all the marketing language that goes with it. But unfortunately, what it was going to do was going to mandate the teaching of the principles of the Center for Civics Education at these conferences. And that was so cleverly done that even good people like Congressman Tancredo didn't recognize it, and so he helped author the bill. He is now on the floor of the Senate taking his name off that bill. So we are having some luck in getting some people. More and more congressmen are starting to trust our information and to rely on us to inform them. Keep in mind, we are a self-governing nation, folks. Our government is only as good as we allow it to be.
But increasingly, we're run from the top down rather than from the bottom up.
Yeah, that's right, and we have to get that turned around again. And that's what I mean. Honest-to-goodness grassroots efforts is what are needed. We're not going to take a great person and throw them in at the top and expect everything to be fixed. What we need to do is build this groundswell and educate people once again from the churches, from organizations like yours and ours, and get folks to start getting involved again. In fact, in light of that, let me give you the website again. It's edwatch.org. I'll also give you our phone number. It's 952-361-4931, and I'll repeat that later for you, but get on board and get signed up for our email alerts. We're right on the pulse of what's happening in this area of education, and we are informing people across the nation. We now have over 35,000 people on our email network, folks are sending us information. We're coordinating with them, getting them back information. When I come to speak in a state, I do a little bit of research in that state to show them how their state connects into the system. In fact, I'll be at the Republican Women's Breakfast in Michigan May 1st, and I'll be speaking at the Freedom 21 Conference in Reno, Nevada in July. I believe that's July 21 or through 24.
Yes, it is. I'll be there as well.
Oh, good. It'll be good to see you. This kind of thing you need to go to. You need to arm yourself. Bring your checkbook, folks. We sell this stuff, but we don't sell it to make money. We're all volunteer people here at EdWatch, and we just pay our expenses with some of this, but we're making it books Alan's book, FedEd, you can buy 100 of them for, I think it's, or 78 of them for $100. Get that book into the hands of all the educators that you know, all the congressmen that you have built a relationship with. Get our video stuff and start to inform them on what exactly is happening. This is the way we win freedom.
I agree with you totally, and I would urge our listeners to get on the email alert from Ed Watts, because I get that on a regular basis, and it keeps me on the cutting edge. I can't read all of the legislation, so I let Michael and Alan and Julie and Michelle Brockman and all the other people up there do our homework for us and then get the information to us. You have to understand, the other side understands how important the minds and souls of your children are. That's why they've targeted them. And the average person doesn't even know that they've been targeted. They don't understand why our children are so intent upon environmentalism, where they get these ideas that they have today. And it's because they've been indoctrinated. We're not educating our children. We're not teaching them to think. We're indoctrinating them with liberal fascist concepts, in my opinion.
That's right.
What is fascism? It is simply state socialism, and that is what we're doing with our children today. Oh, they say communism is dead. It doesn't exist in Russia. No, but it exists in our schools in America today. How could that happen? Because the American people are asleep, and because we've forgotten God.
That's absolutely right. In fact, that's exactly what Solzhenitsyn said when he was asked what happened to Russia. He thought for a minute and answered one simple answer: men forgot God.
And, of course, we have our politicians, oh, God bless, God bless, God bless. But watch and see what they do. And then listen when they're telling mistruths and when they're frankly lying to the American people, and understand it doesn't matter whether they're Democrats or Republicans. They know how to play the public and to say what you want to hear. But watch what people do. And when you realize that they're not telling you the truth, you know that their words are certainly not, or their profession of faith is not reflected in what they do. Well, we've got real problems in America today, but there are groups out there like Michael Chapman's group, and that's Educational Watch Group up in Minnesota, that is on the front lines of this battle, and I think they're doing a better job than any other group I know, staying on top of the No Child Left Behind education, which was Ted Kennedy's legislation, which the Republicans enacted, and maybe they had no idea what they were doing, or maybe a lot of the Republicans voted for it because they were told to vote for it, and if they wanted to get money to get reelected, they would vote for it. And where is the opposition to these programs of socialism? This is the thing that bothers me, and where is the outcry from the American people? Well, Michael, I'm sure you have lots of things, lots of thoughts on what needs to be done. Other than education, is there anything else we can do here in California to make the people aware of what this program's really all about?
Well, I'll tell you, other than education, what you can do is you can look at the school-to-work system that is still fully embedded, No Child Left Behind. In fact, it's on page 406 of No Child Left Behind that they renamed the career clusters that were so popular under school-to-work. They've renamed them smaller learning communities. And you will be seeing these springing up all over. Your schools now can go into direct contract with the federal government to implement the Smaller Learning Communities programs. And all that does is restructure education around the idea of preparing workers for a state-planned economy. The school-to-work system, it's another big subject, but just in a nutshell, the Workforce Investment Act that was also passed under the Clinton administration in 1998 mandated the governor's workforce development councils to establish a series of one-stop center systems in every state that will now coordinate and approve the career clusters that schools may offer. And those kids then will apply in Minneapolis and St. Paul Public Schools right now. The children must apply for a career cluster in eighth grade, and that will then be the shape of their entire high school education.
Now, in order to prepare, I think people don't understand. What you're basically saying is that in the eighth grade, they're going to decide what they're going to do the rest of their life, or they're going to be really assigned to a job that is needed by corporate America. Would that be a fair statement?
That's a pretty close statement, yes. There is a little bit of wiggle room within those career clusters But it takes quite an act to get shifted over. They say that they can be shifted over, but what happens when you get to 11th grade and decide you don't want to be a cosmetologist? All of a sudden, you know, how are you going to get back to 9th grade? They don't have answers for that. But this is what it is the East European polytechnical system. Yeah. Done a huge amount of research on this system and hope to be putting a book out on it sometime in the near future.
But isn't this sort of a bureaucratic idea that the bureaucracy knows really what's best for the kids? We want to get them into these jobs because there's going to be jobs for janitors, and there's going to be jobs for garbage men, and there's going to be jobs for medical assistants in the future. And, well, you may want to be a doctor, but we're not going to put you into that career path.
Well, the economic planners may think we have enough doctors,
right.
And that's exactly right, and that's how it's happening. In fact, if you want to be a cartoonist, you'd better be living in L.A. by the time you're in eighth grade, because L.A. has been assigned the career cluster for graphic arts, just because of Hollywood, obviously. So these are the kind of things that are happening, the tax-free zones that they're starting to pass all over the place, sponsored by Republicans, once again, sound good because everybody's against taxes, right? Well, all this is government bureaucrats picking winners and losers in business who will adhere to the structure of school to work and become partners with a local education system, will adhere to all the radical environmentalism, the minimum livable wage, and all the other radical leftist agenda. And then they will have tax freedom and compete with those other businesses who otherwise wish to remain free, who now have to pick up the bag for everybody.
Well, Michael, we're out of time. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Okay, thanks, Stan. Always a pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is a fascinating four-tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Dr. Richard Day, became the medical director of Planned Parenthood, not the director, but we have actually a four-tape set. I believe it's called either The New Barbarians or The New Order of Barbarians, and it is four interviews with Dr. Lawrence Dunnigan, who had attended the lecture in 1969, where Dr. Day laid out the plan. He was part of a group he called The Order, and they had a plan to control America. They were going to, for instance, have Japanese cars made better than American cars. They were going to encourage women in sports because, after all, who would want to be too attached to a sweaty woman who was very, very athletic? And, of course, if we could get women involved in sports, they wouldn't be so interested in perhaps being feminine and having children and getting married. And they were going to encourage the lesbian and homosexual lifestyle. They were going to create new diseases because there were too many people in the world. They were going to suppress treatments for cancer. It is the most incredible four-tape set you have ever heard. And, of course, three of the interviews were done by Randy Engel. I did one of the interviews. There's a complete transcript with this. You will find this the most incredible four-tape set you've ever heard. I interviewed Dr. Dunnigan myself because I wanted to be sure in my own mind of what he was saying is true. And I think history has proven it was. The tapes, many of them were made in the early 1990s. Dr. Dunnigan is now retired, and Dr. Day is dead. But the timeline of what he said and the things that have happened since then make me believe this is accurate. The New Barbarians, or the New Order of the Barbarians, give us a call and ask at 1-800-544-8927. Get this tape set, copy this tape set, get other people to hear this tape set and understand what we are really up against today. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do it. We do 5 hours a day as we start at 7 o'clock in the morning and go until 10 o'clock at night, 5 hours a day on the Internet, 4 hours a day on shortwave, and you can, of course, listen to our programs at RadioLiberty.com. You can hear our shortwave at 5.745 megahertz. That's 5.745 megahertz. Your job is to tell other people about our programs, to get them listening, to get them to begin to question everything they believe. Because when I first heard this story 42 years ago, I couldn't believe that the media was controlled. I couldn't believe that America wasn't a democracy. After all, I was a college graduate with all sorts of honors, and the thought that I had been dumbed down in my educational process, I'd been indoctrinated and never told the truth, why, it was so hard to believe. Well, of course, 42 years later, I know exactly how it was done and why they done it, and you can, of course, find out part of this, how it was done and who did it, in a book called Foundations, Their Power and Influence. It goes into the Rockefeller and Ford and Carnegie Foundations, how they took over our educational system, rewrote our textbooks, how they actually rewrote our encyclopedias to influence and slant the truth. How they changed the history of America by employing people within the historical movement or historians to change our history. The book Foundations, Their Power and Influence, must reading. Right along with getting a copy of our 4-tape set on this secret government. Those two, the secret government and the video, the book Foundations, Their Power and Influence, both produced by Radio Liberty. We've kept Foundations' book in print. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That book had more impact on my life than I suppose it's one of the five most important books I've ever read, other than the Bible. So these books and many other things are available through Radio Liberty. If you have not read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to, or get the video, or get the Brotherhood of Darkness special, the book, the video, and the audio tape for $29.95. You need to see our video, Iraq, the Untold Story, and get the syllabus that goes with it, because it has all the documentation to show you that all the wars of the last century were contrived. There was no Gulf of Tonkin incident. They knew the attack was coming on Pearl Harbor. We encouraged the North Koreans to attack South Korea by telling them that if they attacked South Korea, we would not defend it. There's so much to the truth about what's going on that the American people have not been told, and it's all there in the video, Iraq, the Untold Story, and get the syllabus along with it. Who financed communism? Who financed the Nazi movement? Who financed the North Vietnamese during the Vietnam War? How did this little country the size of the state of Mississippi hold off America, the greatest nation in the world, for 10 years, and America lost the war? Well, you need to understand that we financed the North Vietnamese. The video is the best enemies money could buy, my interview with Professor Sutton. And we also have his book. We have a supply of those. How long they'll last, I don't know. When they're gone because there are not very many of them out there. And we bought up a large part of the remaining inventory. That's the best enemies money could buy, the book, the video. If you want to understand sustainable development, you need to get our syllabus. You need to get our 4-tape set and or our video on that subject. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 if you want to get into the items I've mentioned, or you'd like a free copy of our March newsletter, which explains to you what the war in Iraq is really all about, what was happening at the secret meetings of the cabinet in January of the year 2001, 8 to 9 months before the 9/11 attack. And then pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders, our ministers. But please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until tomorrow, when we'll be with you once again, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.